That was a wonderful sermon. I told Brother Dennis, I said, why didn't you go ahead and call him an altar? He said, he felt like the Lord don't work here. I said, was that a lack of faith or what? Oh, he said, obedience or something. I don't know how that works out. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it sounded like to me, God is the one that gave us faith to begin with, wasn't it? Doesn't it say, isn't that way it is? Whatsoever is born of whatsoever. Not whosoever, but whatsoever is born of God. Amen. Brother Bill Houston's preaching down in Texas at a camp meeting. I was down there. I'd been in Bristol holding a meeting. My knee had locked up on me and I couldn't kneel. But I'd gotten better. I was down there, it's better, but I was still having trouble. And Brother Bill Houston was just preaching away. And all of a sudden he said, Charles Barnett, God don't want you trying to preach around your knee that ain't working. Said he wants you to have a knee that will work so you can preach the gospel. And I never even thought when he said that, I just sat and listened and preached. Wasn't any sermon, all of a sudden he just said that. Then I just jumped up, jumped out in the aisle, pointed my finger at him and said, I'll take that.
Yeah. 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 I like that.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's all it did. And I'm not got the best legs in the world, but my knees are still pretty good. Amen. Yeah. I still get out. I can get down and pray. I can get up, you know. I may have to reach up and get a hold of something, but I can get up. And so I believe this thing works. I really do.
I believe it.
And I wish we could have gone farther with that. I'm not trying to hide from anything, but brother, give that a chance to work.
Yeah.
Aren't we glad for the word of God?
Yes,
now I'm gonna say something here, and you're gonna say I'm silly. But I was looking at something the other day in the book of Revelation, and it said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That chain held for 1,000 years. A great chain was in his hand. Well, in Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of the father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Said instruction and law. That was a chain of honor. This is a chain of infamy. You know what I believe? I believe that great chain is nothing more than the word of God. It's law.
Right.
Huh? That may not be right, but that's the way I come to the conclusion. I thought, that's just nothing but God's word. Amen.
Yeah.
Bound. It's a great chain. Huh? So aren't you glad for the word of the Lord?
Yes, we are. We are.
I don't know. I hate to say this. I need help. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you. We appreciate what we heard Brother Dennis preaching on faith. God, we'd like to see some results to that.
Yes, Lord.
God, I felt like you blessed him so much, and we were blessed to listen. Lord, you know we got situations right here that need help, Lord. We need help, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, move, Lord. One more time, demonstrate your love and your kindness to those that are suffering here this morning and those that are hindered and hampered, Lord. My God, come down. Lord, move on these people, Lord, and give miracles and healings, we pray. And Lord, bless what little I can say today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how to get started here. I really don't. Thank you for the offering, for the good food, everything you've done for us. Appreciate it so much. Certainly enjoyed the preaching last night, the preaching this morning. And I'm touched by that. I'm touched by that. Amen.
Yeah. Obey the Lord, brother.
And
we are with you.
Brother McDonald preached last night, and it just great. And then Brother Heath coming along. We've just had great times here, but we haven't reached our potential. That's the only thing that bothers me. I'd like to see that breakthrough. Amen. I'd like to see that. I'd like to get in the middle of it. Huh? Hallelujah. Where time would have nothing to do with our being here. It'd lose all of its effect upon us. And all we'd know, we were in the presence of a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The farther we get away from the world, it seems like some things, the closer God tries to get to us. Amen. I mean, the farther the world gets away from God, it seems like the closer he tries to get to us. I was reading, you probably read this. I know I'm way behind time, but I can't remember their names, but there was a professor, a scientist from the Rockefeller University. There was also one from Basel, I suppose that in Switzerland, I don't know. But these two men finally traced the DNA down to where they said it come from. One set of parents. And this one said he didn't want to accept that, but said the fact is that it come from one set of parents. Amen. The evolutionist said, boy, we were close to extinction, weren't we? Hallelujah. But the creation said, in the beginning, God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And yet the world's dropped them. You know what? If that would have been known when I was a boy, it would have electrified the whole country. They'd have shouted and rejoiced. Not only did the Bible say it, but the scientists said it as well. Only this come from only one set of parents. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sorry that I'm not getting with this, but I'm just kind of, anyway, I don't know. It's kind of like good food. I need to ask the blessing again, thanks. But anyway, I want to go to Acts the 13th chapter. Paul's preaching in Antioch and Pisidia. I wouldn't have taken anything Brother Dennis's message, amen. Praise the Lord. You know what, Brother Dennis, he's pretty fair size, isn't he?
Yeah, fair.
But you know what I was thinking of when I was looking at him, preaching on faith? Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thought that's a lot of faith. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. The doctor was with that man. He was praying for him. And had his testicle. And that man was just right near death. Smith said, what's wrong with him? He said, he's got stomach cancer. And Smith Wigglesworth just hauled off and hit him right in the middle of the stomach. And the doctor said, you killed him. Smith Wigglesworth never even turned around and said, he's an Englishman. He said, he's healed. Just kept walking and praying. Pretty soon that man was walking right beside of him. Hallelujah.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Bigger on the inside than on the outside. Now I'm getting off this. I don't know. All right. Paul preaching. Hallelujah.
God bless.
Let me try to pick up here. I hope I ain't missing the Lord. All right, 32nd verse of the 13th chapter. You might want to keep your Bibles open. I don't know that it will, but. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid under his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified. That means more than forgiveness, don't it, huh? Justification is more than forgiveness. I can forgive my son if he does me wrong, but I can't justify him in what he did, huh? By him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Now I'm gonna need your help just for a little while. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about this thing that we're headed for. The judgment. We're headed for the judgment. Remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel was talking about it. He saw the judgment. And the Bible said the judgment set and the books were open. Revelation, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Amen. And whosoever not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So we're headed for the judgment. And we leave to stand there unjustified or justified. We'll stand there either condemned or we'll stand there, amen, forgiven.
Right.
Hallelujah. And I want to tell you this. I know you know this. But when you get to the judgment, it's not going to be a kangaroo court.
Right.
It's going to have certain rules and regulation it's going to go by.
Yeah.
Everything will be ruled and regulated by some law. Amen? I'm trying. I'm not doing very good, but I'm trying to get into this. When I think about this and realize how people, you know, they don't like laws. They don't like rules. They don't like regulations. I actually believe, someone else has said it, I didn't say it, but I actually believe the reason why we're having so much trouble in the United States of America right now is because the Constitution was written for a Christian nation, and we have changed from that, and for that reason, the Constitution seems to work against us instead of for us because of the fact we've lost God in our concept of how things ought to be run. We don't want no rules. We don't, and you know, people say to you, well, you know, if you try to preach rules and regulations and biblical standards and doctrines, people say, well, you're a legalist. You know, I seem like I hear a hiss of the serpent in that. Legalist. Huh? Don't that sound like the hiss of the serpent? Amen? Jesus wasn't against the legality of the law. He was against the traditions of those that added to the law.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Amen. He said, they that sat in Moses' seat, all saying, what shall they bid you do? That do, but be not they are, as they are, for they say, and do not. He said, keep the law. He wasn't against that, not at all. Amen. But he was against their traditions. Because it became so much important to them than the law. But there's still a law that God goes by, and there's a way for a man to be saved, And there's a way for a man to be justified, but it'll be according to what God says and not what I say. I wish I could help you. I don't know that I even get in this. I'm trying to get in this, but I'm trying to tell you, when I read this here, there's something wonderful in this verse that I read to you this morning. Amen. How that he said that this one that was raised because of the resurrection, you know, if there's no resurrection, we're just as lost as we ever were. Amen. It all depends on the resurrection. You remember in the book of Corinthians, I don't know, I know it's there, and I thought I could quote it, but I'm kind of confused right now. I'm upset because of the fact that we had such a wonderful message on faith, and I wanted to see more, and so I'm trying to get away from that, but you just kind of pray for me. I'm doing the best I can, amen? But the dead raised not, then it's Christ that is raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. We got to realize that all hinges on this fact that Jesus Christ rose again. I know I read this to you a couple of days ago, but I'm going to read it again. I'm going to try to get into this if I possibly can. You pray for me. Amen. I argued, I fought, I wrestled, and finally I said, God, I'll go. I felt the Holy Ghost tell me, go to bed. When you wake up, it'll be clear. Amen. And I woke up this morning, it was clear. Now I'm just kind of confused, so you pray for me, amen. The Bible said, concerning the Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, by the resurrection from the dead, amen. And so we can see here that not only Christ raised because of God's power, but he raised because of his own holiness and the holy life he lived while on the face of this earth, amen. And for that reason, amen, the Bible tells us that he was raised, declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, by the resurrection from the dead. And we got to realize, if I can get to this, we got to realize, amen, the whole concept of my salvation depends on the fact whether he actually came out of the grave or not. And I believe and I'm convinced that he did. Hallelujah. I'm convinced of that he arose from the dead. Amen. And for that reason, we go back to the sixth chapter of the first Corinthians where the Bible said, but you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. Amen. Talking about those people that live so ungodly and so wicked. Amen. Yet God cleansed the drunkard. Amen. God cleansed the mind of the catamite and the sodomite. Amen. God changed the direction of the fornicator and the adulterer and the liar, amen, and the thief, amen. He changed it all because of the power of God to deliver people from sin, and it has a process that he goes by and he leads them in that direction, amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm feeling a little better now, amen. He said, you're washed, amen. You know what that was? It was when God stopped the downward plunge of the sinner by his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember the Bible talked about in Ephesians where it talked about how, amen, Christ loved the church and gave it itself for it that he might cleanse it by the washing of the word. Hallelujah. And so the word of God, we talked about that word in faith. That's the thing that stands strong, amen, in the heavens, and it pleads for our deliverance from sin is because God said it and I didn't. Amen. Hallelujah. You washed. You washed. Hallelujah. Amen. If my mind wasn't so bad, I could quote it for you. But I can't quote it for you. So I'll turn to it. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know it's in there. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm sorry. Praise God. For the law had a shadow. You know what the law, remember what the Bible says in Romans 3:19? Amen. By the law is the knowledge of sin, right? Remember what I said there? And for the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never by these sacrifices that they offer year by year continually make the covenant thereunto perfect. For then will not it cease to be offered, because the worshipper once purged shall no more conscience of sin. But in the sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And for it is not possible that a bull go to take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering wouldest thou not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume written of me to do the way I will. Oh God, I like that, don't you? Yeah. Amen. He said, Lord, the reason why I'm here, God, is because the Bible's full of the fact that I was supposed to come. Hallelujah. It's just right there throughout the scriptures. Amen. I heard, I don't know, Jack Van Impe said there's 10,385 scriptures concerning the prophecy of Jesus Christ and him coming and living and dying for us. I don't know that. Amen. He's getting to be an old man. He may not know what he's talking about. But I'm simply saying, he said, the volume books have written me, and that I've come to do thy will, O God. Above it is that sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering sin that was not even had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, that he may establish the second. Hallelujah. Yeah. Moving on. Hallelujah. By which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. Now, there's three places in the book of Hebrews where it says on one occasion only. This is one of those places. The other place is over in the chapter 7. Amen. Where it says this is once when he offered himself up to sin on one occasion only. The next place is the 10th chapter. Amen. And I think it's in the 10th verse. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. He made that one offering, amen. 8 is the number of new beginning. 3 is the number of the resurrection. Hallelujah. And so he came there, and he gave us once for all. He there said, by the which will, we're sanctified. You see, my friend, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when God decides to save a lost man, woman, or boy, or girl through the preaching of the word, he sanctifies that person. He separates that person from that crowd going on the downward road to hell, and he moves that person to a position where he can be saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God washed, amen, by the word. Praise the Lord. Let me go a little farther. By the which will, and every priest standeth daily ministered. Often, oftentimes, same sacrifice can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expect until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. For by one offering, amen, he has moved those places, amen, to reach that goal by which God separated them for. Hallelujah. Don't the Bible said, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost and come unto God to him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. He's able to save to completion. Praise the Lord. Christ is in the law for righteousness to every man that believeth. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, when God made a plan, he made a plan that he's going to do something that the devil couldn't tear down. Amen. There was no way they could come in and destroy his plan, and he made it by rules and laws, and he's going to follow it through. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made a footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm talking about that sanctification where God moves a man, amen, into position for salvation. He separates him from that ungodly world. It's that man that sometime we've seen years ago when we preach revivals. Amen. Maybe a bunch of sinners standing in the back. Amen. But all of a sudden that word come nigh that one sinner. It got close to his heart. Amen. He dropped his head. Maybe a tear run down his cheek, amen. And he wouldn't look around to see what his buddy was doing. But when the altar was coming, a call, and the song started out, amen, just as I am, without one plea, but that thou blood was shed for me, you'd see him step out from the rest of him. What's happening, amen? God is washing him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is moving him away from the filth of that world. Amen. The judgment of is to follow. God is moving on him. Hallelujah. Wherefore, amen. The Holy Ghost also witnessed to us, right? He said before, this is the covenant I'll make after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in the hearts and their minds, and write them. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Now, where mentioned these is, there's no more offering sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which hath consecrated us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I'm talking about the word of God that separates sinners. Amen. It brings that person in a position where they can know the joy and the blessing that comes only from the throne of heaven. Woo! Glory be to God. Having our bodies washed with pure water. Do you remember last night the preacher preached Leviticus 16? Laid out all those linen garments for the priest and said, you can't put them on till you wash. You can't do no service till you wash. Hallelujah. They're there, but you got to be washed. You got to come by the word. Hallelujah. You got to live by the word. Amen. And once that man starts out, then God works that blessed sanctification that moves him. You remember what the Bible said, and it's worked by the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, the second verse, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit and the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Hallelujah. This old book is full of grace. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, amen, it's kind of hard to find. You'll have to read about 31 pages if you divide it out even, amen, before you find grace. But when you get over in the New Testament, amen, about every fifth page or a little over, you'll find grace. It's grace. Five is the number of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's grace, and so here it is. Amen. It said the Spirit, amen, obedient through the sanctification of the Spirit. I know, amen, Brother Meekham, I love this preaching about the chapter of Romans, but I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven, amen, that sanctifies a sinner and pulls him apart. But as far as you are washed, amen, you're sanctified. Hallelujah. You've been set apart because you've heard the word. You've obeyed the gospel. You've accepted the call. You've found your place of altar, and you're seeking my faith, and I set you apart to make you a recipient of justification. Hallelujah. For, you know, right. Sanctified through the body. Hallelujah. Sanctified because of that sacrifice. Sanctified. Amen. One offering he hath perfected forever. Once you're saved. I don't believe in once saved, always saved, unless you stay saved. Hallelujah. But if you stay saved, it's just as good as they preach it. Did you know that? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach this morning. I'm trying to get you to the place where you can realize there's a God in heaven that made some rules and regulations that even the devil, amen, that one, amen, is the one that's always accusing the brethren and always finding fault and always trying to destroy us. Even the devil can't break that and change that because God has a law, and the devil has to go by that law if he's going to get a saint of God out of heaven. I wish I could preach to you. I'd read about justification. And it was Edward Hare. Seemed like he wrote about 1834. I'm not sure. But he said, I didn't know they knew this word back then. It's brand new to me. He wrote on the scripture Lord, justification. And he said, the term justification is forensic. That's one of the hardest words in the world for me to try to get a hold of, brother. Forensic. And why? It's kind of like logistics. I look at the dictionary, what they say, and it still don't mean anything to me. You know what I mean? Forensic. And you have forensic law. You have forensic medicine. Yeah, forensic detective work, forensic everything seemed like. And I've tried to figure this out. And I'll read you what he said in just a minute. But I believe in this instance, it is undeniable evidence by which a judge or judges can make a decision and pronounce judgment. Amen.
Wow.
I believe that's the reason why he called it forensic. Here's what he said about it. The term justification is forensic and means the reverse of condemnation. That is, an acquittal in judgment. To justify is to clear of imputed guilt, to absolve of the accusation and the act of justification may be, and the act of justification may be attributed either to the advocate who maintains and defends the cause of the party accused or the judge who pronounces the just sentence of acquittal. But most properly said to the latter, that be God, the judge, amen. I look at this like Jesus is the advocate, amen. And so according to him, amen, this justification comes because something has been done that was lawful and right that God and the host of heaven could appeal to and show that without a doubt, rules and regulations makes the acquittal a thing that's right, amen. It isn't, like I said, it's not a forgiveness like a father forgives a child, but it's something that is absolutely legal and can't be there ever broken against. What was that you was talking about, Brother McDonald, last night about that red? Amen. Forgiving that debt. They couldn't do anything about it because it was written in red. And so this is something that I'm looking at and I'm thinking about this. And I when I got to studying about this, I got to look at this and I thought about what a wonderful thing it is. Amen. When he washes you and when he sanctifies you and all of a sudden you feel the power and the presence of justification. Hallelujah. There is now no condemnation to the Lamb which are in Christ Jesus. How wonderful it feels when the burden of sin rolls away. Amen. And sometimes you don't even get the altar. Brother Joe Driscoll, a deacon there in the church at Brandsville, Missouri, got under conviction. Joe was just a sinner. Amen. Lived. He'd been in a service over in Korea. Come back home. Got to go into church. Amen. Because I think he liked a young lady there. Amen. And one night he got a conviction. And he thought, I'll go to the altar. He got up and he said, I got saved before I could get to the altar. Amen. That's a wonderful act of God. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about that justification that rolls the burden of sin away and makes you feel free and clean in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. And I got to thinking about this. Look at this. And I run across something that I don't know really a whole lot about. But you remember in my text this morning, there's two things I want you to know. Notice that he said, I'll give you the sure mercies of David, and I'll justify you from all the things that the law of Moses couldn't justify you from.
Wow.
Huh? That's able to reach down to the lowest, isn't it? Huh? Praise God. That's able to get to the worst. No wonder Paul said to all them wicked people, you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. Hallelujah. And I got to looking at a story, at something in the Bible, and I run across a being, he's an angel, but it seems like he works in the maybe judge advocate office. He seems to work with that one. That's the advocate. And I got to reading about him, and I want to just turn over and read you something. I hope I'm not wearing you out. But if you can see what I see, I think it'll just bless you. I really do. I think it will. But I was reading in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, where Daniel had that vision. Remember, he is mourning 3 full weeks, ate no pleasant bread. He just pulled himself. He was seeking God. Amen. And he's down by that river. And he said, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like colored of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I can't imagine being anybody else but my Lord. I don't know who you think it was, but I think that's who it was. Amen. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me, saw not the vision, but a great quake had fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in for my calmness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his word. When I heard the voice of his word, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which he set me upon my knees, the palm of my hand, and he said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak of thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I spoke so trembling. And then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. They tell me that word Michael means one who is God. But I read where there's 9 different Israelites that named that, and I don't believe any mortal could be as God. So I think in my mind it's somebody who represented somebody. He's from the judge advocate's office, amen, and he come to help me, praise the Lord. Here he is. I don't know if I'm using the right legal term there, but then my mind's all right. And he said, Lo, Michael, one of the chief priests has come to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, I only understand that seemed like this one that can be there and yet remain there is the same one that stood by Moses and said, I'll put you in a cleft of a rock by me, and I'll put the hand over your face, and then I'll pass before you. Amen. It just seemed like for him to remain there and be there, it seemed like it had to be one of the same person. But the thing I want you to notice, this man Michael, amen, or this angel Michael, and how he came and how he was there with him. And I noticed on over in the same scripture, if I can turn to it here quickly and read it. I think I've got to hear my notes, amen. And he said in that same chapter, 21st verse, he said, but I'll shew thee the which thou know the scripture of the truth. There's none holdeth, there's no one that's standing with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So we're introduced here to someone that has some kind of connection in a legal term with the saints of God and with the throne of God. Amen. You see what I'm saying? His name is Michael, amen. And he's come there and he's helping them. In fact, the Bible goes on to tell us in the 12th chapter, at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even that same time, at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Amen. He has something to do with legality. Amen. He said he's for you, and he's standing up for you, and he's going to be for you, and he's going to have something to do with that book that's going to be open. Amen. So I found somebody that's working with that one who is the advocate, who is also working with the judge, because he's trying to get some people justified where can stand uncondemned before God, no matter what they've done in the past. Amen. Didn't change what they've done in the past. It didn't change. It wasn't as though they'd never done it. It was as though they'd done an accident, but somebody has found a way to pay the price and get me out of this mess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach to you. Amen. About. And later on, he's not mentioned too often, but I may go a little farther. Later on, when Jude is writing, he said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dares not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Hallelujah. The devil and Michael got into argument about it. Yeah. Michael said, I'm taking his body. The devil said, you can't. Amen. I've got the law, and the law is strict. He's failed God. He rebelled. He failed to sanctify the people. You can't have him, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so Michael really didn't have no power to do anything about it. But seemed like to me he maybe made a quick trip back to heaven, and he came back and he held up a sheet of paper and said, "Devil, I've got an injunction against you. We're going to put this off for a while." Hallelujah. I believe it's the same thing, amen, that David, when he's praying the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms, and he said, "If you'd ask any sacrifice in the world, I'd give it," amen. But he couldn't find it, amen. But the Bible said David served God with a perfect heart, except, and that which pertaineth to Uriah the Hittite. Everything else God could cleanse, amen, but he couldn't cleanse that because the law didn't deal with it. That murder, that adultery, amen. But it seemed like David in prayer, hallelujah, somehow Michael may have come and said, "I've got an injunction, amen." And the prophet turned around and come back and said, "God has put away your sin. I've got an injunction against that." Hallelujah. What are we waiting on? There's something going to happen. Amen. Amen. And so it was the resurrection of the body of Moses, and the devil had an injunction placed against him, and he couldn't do anything about it. Had to let him go. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, "How do you know it?" Well, I saw him on the mount. He was talking to Jesus. Hallelujah. So I know the devil lost that case. But listen to this. I love this. I hope this ain't something that's wearing you out.
No, you're doing great.
But this is so thrilling to me.
It is.
Amen. It's in that 12th chapter of the book of Revelation where that woman brought forth that man child, called up the throne of God. Listen, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Their place. Amen. They lost. Amen. You came there when Job was there. You've been there every time. But you're losing your ability. Amen. We're shutting you out of court. Amen. We're shutting you out of court. Amen. You're not going to come before this throne anymore. Hallelujah.
Wow.
And the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Amen. Look at this, what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Amen. Here's something happened. Something justified them, which they could not be justified in the law of Moses. Something happened to them. They found the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. And this time, when Michael shows up, he don't have to have an injunction. Amen. He's got the proof that he's got a right to forgive everybody, and it's called the resurrection. He doesn't have to say the Lord rebuke you. There's words went forth, and countercharges went forth, and countercharges went forth. And finally, the devil had to pack up his briefcase and walk out of the courtroom and say, "The case is lost." Amen. I've lost it. Hallelujah. Because God, by his power, and because of his law, his rules, and his regulation, has the ability to justify you, hallelujah, and give you that legal standing that even the devil can't break, hallelujah. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brother Shad McDonald, he come down to one verse that I was waiting to see if he's going to get it in the ninth chapter. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is said, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in the holy, once in the holy place, once only, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For it's the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified to purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience of dead works, servant in God. Listen to this. This is one he didn't read. This cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. Hallelujah. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal life.
All right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, David. Come on. When he died on the cross and cried out, David stood up and said, I believe I'll walk on in. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lived under the first testament, but I'm justified. I'm justified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that making any sense to you? If there had been no death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there had been no legal means for the resurrection of the saints of God. We'd have no legal means for the forgiveness of sin and be justified in the sight of God. But because he did live, because he did die, because he gave his life and shed his blood, that I might be saved, hallelujah, no matter how wicked my sins are, no matter how evil I have lived, if I can reach out and say, God, you said it, I'm taking you at your word, just like when Bill Houston said, Charles Barnett, I jumped up and said, I'll take that. I didn't say any more, but I'm living proof, amen, that I did take it, hallelujah. And this morning I want to tell you, my friend, that night when God dealt with me, amen, when I went to the altar, a drunkard, not a drunkard as much that I couldn't work. I worked, I made a living, amen. But I'm talking about the road I was traveling, my cursing and my wickedness and ungodliness, amen. When I took him at his word, I went forward. I had nothing to go on, but the preacher said he'd forgive if I came, and I came, hallelujah. When I stood up there, I felt as clean as a newborn babe. I felt all my sins were rolled away. I had no condemnation whatsoever. I'm telling you, my friend, amen, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm looking at you this morning and tell if you know what it is, you're missing one of the wonderful things, and you're going to stand in judgment and wish you hadn't come and prayed this morning. Let's stand.
Right.
I wish I could preach that better. Oh God, oh God, oh God. But if you'd seen the pitiful condition I was in this morning, early this morning, you'd feel like I did all right. Amen. If you just seen. I looked. I went through notes. I said, God, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't get it in my mind. I can't handle it. Amen. I had notes, things I'd written down. But I said, God, I can't do it. But I felt the sweet Holy Ghost come about 3 o'clock. And he shook me. And he said, go to bed. It'll be better in the morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And before, so when I woke up, I was quoting the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Amen. And I was quoting part of the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Amen. For the redemption of the transgression that were passed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Under the first testament, first covenant. I'm telling you, you talk about a legal system. You talk about something right. You talk about something that can't be broke. Crooked lawyers can't get in there, amen. Even the head of the crooked lawyers has lost his place, and he's going to have to move out. Hallelujah. The accuser, brother, is cast down. Hallelujah. And it's all because of one man lived and died and rose again. We can call him Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, amen, I don't know. Let's just pray. Let's just find us a place and tell God how much we love him because he saved our soul. If you're here this morning, you're lost, wouldn't you like to just come and pray too?
God.